Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called The Power Half Hour. And today we have a special guest with us who's been on a special journey. And he'll be talking to us all about it in the next half an hour or so, inshallah. We're joined in the studio by Mufti Musaji. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ijaz, the last time I remember being interviewed by yourself was when we did those interviews, the 101 interviews. Yeah. I think it's about 2 or 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
It's still available on the website, and I think that was the last time I was being interviewed by yourself.
Yeah, you're right. It's about 3 or 4 years now. But now you've been on a very exciting journey, Mufti. Have you added another tick to your bucket list?
Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I had the opportunity of completing the Otter Trail. Now, for many people that I've met over the years, they speak about the Otter Trail being on their bucket list, and one of the things they'd like to do as a young person, or perhaps as an older person, you know, before you retire, because there's an age limit of 65. So you can't wait that long.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, when we talk of bucket lists, this wasn't on my bucket list.
Hmm.
I never thought it was something that I would manage and that I was interested in doing. And it was something that had come up around last year, where a group of my cousins had did the Otter Trail. And after they completed it, I looked at the group, and there were some unfit individuals, some a bit overweight guys that were part of the group. And another cousin who was not able to be part of them then got a booking.
Hmm.
You've got to wait a 1 year period to get a booking.
Wow, 1 year.
And when he then got that booking and he asked who wants to do this, who think they'll manage, at that time I thought, you know, if so-and-so could do it and so-and-so could do it, perhaps I could do it. And suddenly the interest developed at that point. And alhamdulillah, that is how it all came about. But it wasn't something that I had long planned about or thought about from a young age, that this is one thing that I'll do at some stage.
Okay. Now, where is the Otter Trail located and what does it entail?
Yes, for those that are particularly based on in the Gauteng region or the KZN, on the route between Port Elizabeth and Cape Town is the garden route.
Yeah.
You have the Tsitsikamma Nature Reserve. Now, in that nature reserve, you have a trail which starts off in Storm Rivers Valley and ends off in Nature's Valley.
Hmm.
So it's located on the route to Cape Town and in this nature reserve. It's a 5-day trail where you start off at one point and you end off at another river mouth. And you traverse this area over 5 days. It's close to 50 kilometers. The first day you do about 6 kilometers, the second day 8 kilometers, the third day 8 kilometers, the fourth day was 14 kilometers, and the last day is 10 kilometers. So you go through the mountains along the coast, and each evening you spend on the small huts that are built on the beach. So you go through the mountains, and at the end of the day they bring you back to the hut, which is on the along the ocean, and you have some of the most scenic views at your huts.
Mm.
4 nights that you spend in these huts. The huts have water, no electricity, so you've got to prepare yourself in that regard. Either you take small canisters with for your food, or you make it on a fire. And that was part of the highlights of the trip, sitting around the fire till late in the evening and chatting with all those that were with us on the trip.
Now, Mufti, how long is this trail in existence?
The trail is, in fact, in existence since 1968, so it's a number of years now.
Sure.
It is worldwide famous across the globe. A couple of years ago, I was on a flight from Johannesburg, from P to Johannesburg, and I met a gentleman from France, and he had come all the way from France just to do the Otter Trail.
Wow.
And that shows us how popular it is. It's known across the globe. It is well known in South Africa. It's considered to be the best because it gives you, the ocean as well as the mountains. So it's one of the best trails in South Africa. The unique part about this is that I was at Khan's Butcher and I'm giving them a free advert to prepare the meat for the Otter Trail. I know you're smiling, it's your family, Jazz.
Zain and Zain listening, yeah.
While preparing the meat, the brother was helping me when we explained that we want the meat vacuum sealed, and he asked, are you doing Ottoman Trail? So that showed to me that there are a number of people that are doing it now in Indonesia. In the last few days, I've been meeting people in Extension 9, other extensions. Some have done it. Some are going to be doing it. So while the trail was in existence since 1968, it's a bit difficult to be cliched here, but mostly whites and Europeans were doing it up until this point, and it's the last 5 or 10 years that the Muslim community has gotten into hiking.
Yeah.
So I think that it has been in existence for a long period, but there's a craze that is now currently gripped the Muslim community in across the country. Joburg, Durban, Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, you have groups that are now all getting ready or already have done it in the last 5 years. So it's been around for a long time, but the craze has just hit us recently.
Okay. And, you know, myself personally, the furthest I've walked is 22 Ks, and it was by mistake. We were on a hiking trail. We were taking an 11 K trail, and we were in such a deep discussion as we came to the split point, and we took the wrong turn. So we walked 22 Ks, but we managed, alhamdulillah. The view and the scene around us was beautiful as well. But now, what makes this trail so unique?
Yes, what makes this trail unique is the fact that it's based along the ocean, and
nice.
There's breathtaking views of the ocean. You also have the rock formations that are totally astonishing. And then on the other hand, you have the forest, which is the Tsitsikamma Forest. So you're walking through the forest that has this very green forest feel to it. It's canopied with trees all along. Portions of the day you are in the forest, so then you come up and you climb a mountain, and on top of the mountain you have the view of the entire Indian Ocean, and then it's down another mountain, and then you're crossing a stream, you're doing rock hopping, you're doing river crossings, you've got to put your stuff in a backpack and cross over a river, you've got to cross over the rocks, you've got to time yourself to get to certain rivers and crossings at a certain time to get it in low tide. So it has a bit of everything. You know, you do a certain trail perhaps, and it's only mountain climbing, or you have one in Drakensberg where you're going through the forest.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you may be in a very lush area where you're going through streams. Now, this has a bit of everything, and it's, you know, put everything together. That's why some of the other cousins, I'm not sure if this is an excuse, but while others who did it previously have now taken on and done other trails, others say, no, we did the otter. There's nothing else that you can really see that can impress us after this.
Yeah.
And that is an indication as to what makes this really unique, because it has a bit of everything: rock hopping, mountain climbing, stream crossing, river crossing, everything that a person could imagine or desire on a hike, you'll get it in the otter.
Now, you went for quite a few days, so what do you carry with you?
Now, this is the catch point. You've got to carry all your provisions with you.
Right.
So you've got to have a backpack with you.
Mm-hmm.
The backpacks are specially made for hiking, and you've got to get something that is suitable for your structure, for your size. I had one, it was hurting me on a certain part of my back. Then another one, eventually I got a bag that was suitable. Now, what do you take with you? You need your sleeping bag, so your bedding.
Okay.
If it's cold, you may need a thermal blanket with. If you want a pillow, if you need a pillow, then you'll take a pillow. Otherwise, what you do is you stuff all your clothing in your sleeping bag cover and you sleep with that.
Yeah.
So your bedding is one. The second is your food that you need to take with you.
Hmm.
Now, you have 4 nights, so there's 4 major meals, so to say. What we did was we had a braai the first night where we had some chops, chicken fillets and sausages. The second night we had a steak braai, and the third night we had a steak braai again. So you've got to take, each person got to carry for themselves their provisions. That is for your main meals. Then throughout the day, because you're exerting yourself and you're really pushing yourself, you need to stack almost continuously. So what I personally took with was some dates, some badams, kulunji, a small bit of that. Those were, you know, more on the Islamic stuff that has all Islamic connotations and are very filled with nutrition and gives you a lot of power. Other than that, I took these jungle oat bars, oat so easy for breakfast, some tuna, as well as biltong, the ever favorite for the South Africans, and one or two other things. So you keep your snack pack with you, and throughout the day as you're going along, maybe every 30 minutes, every 1 hour, every 2 hours that you stop, then you refuel. Another thing is what is being termed as the bladder, and it has a very, it has a very unique name to it. When people heard this, someone was saying that, is it something for urine or something like that? But it's a hydration pack, which, it's a bag, which you can fill about 2 liters of water in it, and you put it in your backpack, and you have a cord with it. When it comes out, so you're able to sip with much ease, because every time you stop, you've got to take off your bag and then get out your bottle and then drink. Mm. So that is a bit tedious. So this is one of the things that you that has been made available, and it's something that's really easy. So the second thing is your food and your water. The third thing is your clothing. Now, when you're hiking, you know, you think to yourself, and they tell you, no, only one pair of clothing for all 5 days, and you think, how are you going to manage?
Yeah.
But that's how it goes. You take one set of clothing for the day and one for your night clothing. As soon as you get to the camp, you take off your day clothing and you go into your night clothing and maybe a tracksuit pants and a long sleeve t-shirt or something like that. And you give your clothing a chance to maybe if you want to wash it out or to just air it out. So you just take one set of clothing with that you're wearing, one that you have in your bag. You need another thing important is the aqua shoes, because there's times when you have to cross through rivers,
yeah,
and you've got to have your backpack with you, and you don't want to slip on rocks. So you need the aqua shoes. That it gets a bit heavy when it's wet, but that is one of the essentials. Also, you need your utensils with you.
Mm.
So a plate, spoon, if you want a bowl, a cup, and maybe whatever else, if you're going to take gas canisters. What is really nice is the enamel mug. That if you take an enamel mug with, you can actually put it on the fire directly.
Yeah.
So you don't have to heat water via the gas canister. You can heat it directly on the fire.
Mm.
And that makes life really easy. So those are some of the things. Others come with more things. You know, people brought rice with, and it was heavy previously. A previous group from our family who did it, some of the guys were walking with 22 and 23 kilo bags. Now that is really, really heavy, and it weighs you down, eventually catches up with you. The average is 15, 16. My bag was 16 kilos. The average weight in our entire group was about 15, 16. There was one or two that went up to 17. And one of the younger ones had a 10 kilo bag. And the lighter you are, the better, because you are more agile. You can move. When you're going down the downhills, what happens is, you know, the uphills is strenuous. The downhill, the bag is sort of pushing you. Mm. So it creates a lot of pressure on the knees and on your toes.
Yeah.
So the lighter you are, the better it is. There's one more thing that is the hiking poles that one carries with, you know, for your hands. So it's nice to have both poles. Some people only choose one pole, and that is for going uphills as well as going the downhills. It is about 700 grams each, so you're looking at 1.5 kilos. So on total, close to 16, 17 kilos, that's your total weight. If you can keep it in that region, it would be easy to manage for these 5 days.
Okay. Now, this is the Power Half Hour, and we like to advocate, you know, fitness and health and all of those things. So, how challenging is it, and did you have to train before you went?
It is quite challenging, and I think that is what makes it unique, that you are rewarded in the sense that you get the views, but you've got to work hard to get those views,
yeah,
to get up to the mountain to enjoy the view. As I outlined, that, you know, it's 50 kilos over 5 days. Day one, you just cover 6 kilos, you enter, you register, and then you start walking, you're still fresh. You had a hearty meal in the morning, you had your normal type of food. So that goes easy. There's a bit of rock hopping that you do for about a kilo or two, one rock to the next. It is a bit challenging, but it's fine. Day two, you've got 8 kilos, but there's 4 mountains that you have to literally climb. And when we look at the total height of those mountains, go up to 200 meters. So you're gradually going up, down, up, down, up, down, and there's many hills in between. So day two is really, really challenging. I remember we set out at around 8 o'clock and we reached the hut by around 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So we were on the road for about 5 or 6 hours on day two. Day three is similar to day two, but it's not as challenging as day two. And then day four itself, that is where you've got to cover 15 kilometers. So you're walking for 10 kilometers, you cross the river, and then after that you've got to walk another 5 kilometers. And in that 5 kilometers, you're going on a steep incline, a really, really steep mountain. And usually people think we've done 10 kilos now, we're just going to get to the hut, we've crossed the river, it will be there in a short while. But there's a really, really steep incline, and there's no water available after that. And so if you're low on water, you tend to get caught without water. You're rushing to try and get to the hut. And we set out on day four at around 6:30 in the morning. And the last to come into the hut on day four, by the evening, they came in at around 6:30. So it was literally 12 hours of trekking. Okay, there were the breaks in between for short snacks and to perform salah and that. But we were literally walking for 12 hours. So that is really challenging. And that is where you really have to, it's a test of the mind. How strong are you really? You come to a point where you feel that I can't go further. Mm. And that is where, you know, you chat to one another and you try to motivate yourself and you just push on. And by the end, you forget about all of that, the difficulty that you've went through.
Right. Now, you spoke about many challenges experienced on the way, but what is the most difficult part of the trail?
I think the mountain climbing, that you've got to go up the mountains and you've got to come down again and go on up another. There are instances where you are walking on the side of a mountain. There's no railing. So at times you're scared of heights. That may be a bit of a problem that you may feel that if I just take one step wrong here, I'm down this cliff, because the mountains have these huge drops to the ocean. So you're walking on the side of that. And that could be challenging. Also the fact that the day four, you've got to cover such a huge distance of 14 or 15 kilometers. That is challenging. The one aspect of the Otter is the Blaukrans River, which is a famous river. There's a bridge that goes over on the N2 highway between Port Elizabeth and Cape Town. And there's bungee jumping. It's the world's highest commercial bungee jumping on that very bridge, the Blaukrans Bridge. Right. Now, it's a powerful river, and you've got to cross the river. You try to get there at low tide, and previous groups would trek through the night to try and get there at low tide. Our low tide was 4 a.m. in the morning, and if we were going to try to get there at 4 a.m., then we had to walk through the entire night. And initially, we thought that's what we're going to do, but then eventually we decided, let's just go there. Whatever time we reach, we'll take a decision at that time. Unfortunately for us, when we got there, the water wasn't that high. It was around waist, just slightly above the waist. You could go through with your backpack on your bag. Now, let me tell you something, Jazz. You know, I had my backpack and I didn't put it in the bag. And I walked through it. Some of my other cousins, he's walking through without his backpack on, you know, in the bag, in the water bag to protect it. And these guys also decided to take their backpacks just like that on their back. And one wave came and knocked them and made their bags wet. Oh, while it only reached them.
Oh, yeah. They were
So that was the end of the advantage where they got caught out with the backpacks. And one of the most miserable things they say is that a wet hiker is a miserable hiker.
Yeah.
So once, if any of your clothes get wet or your boots get wet or your sleeping bag gets wet and you don't have enough time to dry it, then, you know, you're really miserable for that evening. So you try your best not to get yourself wet. So that is one of the challenging parts of the Otter Trail, going through that river. Fortunately for us, alhamdulillah, we were able to get through with much ease around midday. It took us about 1.5 hours. And while we were talking and chatting, we said, I suppose it's the fact that we have 15 mothers and 13 wives making dua continuously. The weather was perfect. It was hot. It wasn't very hot, but the sun was there. It wasn't beating down on us. There was one morning, I think day three, where we thought it's going to rain. It rained for a short while, but the moment we started hiking, the rain cleared up. So it wasn't extremely hot that would make it difficult. Neither was it cold. It was just perfect. And that was really amongst the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah. Now, Mufti, when you go on these type of trips and you go through challenges, you know, usually you make bonds or friendships for life. So tell us a bit about your group.
We had a variety. The common thread was myself and my brothers. Myself and three of my brothers, we did it together with two of my nephews. And then I had, on the one hand, my paternal cousins, some from Cape Town, and others were my maternal cousins. So from the Asmal family, the Salam family, the Karwa family, the Katrada family. And I tell you what, on a personal note, that we were the common thread, and we had our paternal cousins and maternal cousins. At some point, we were a bit concerned that, you know, it's two different groups. How's everyone going to get along? But after this, and people, you know, everyone was just saying the crew was just right. It was just perfect. There was a diversity. We were able to have some stimulating discussions, and you get into some of these interesting discussions, and you're talking, and you don't realize that now we've covered a mountain, or we've gone right up the mountain, an hour passed by. So company is really important, and having a good variety of people that you're able to connect with. There was no fighting. There was, you know, people were talkative, others were listening, sitting around around the fire in the evening and sharing stories, reflecting on the old days. So your group makes a big difference. And when you have that camaraderie and a good understanding amongst the group, it really makes it it makes it enjoyable. And those are the memories that we will treasure for always.
Definitely so. And with this is a real Indian question. Right? You know, what is the cost of hiking? Is hiking costly?
It's a difficult one. You know, the fact is that we weren't into it before. And that's why you've got to buy yourself boots, because you go there, you skimp on the boots, you buy cheap boots. One of the brothers, on the first day, his boots packed up.
Yeah.
Then we had to tie it up with cable ties. Now, you can imagine 5 days. Yeah. So you've got to get a decent boot, decent bag, your trekking poles. And then those are some of the major things. And then your clothing, your bedding. So if you're starting off, you're looking at around $5,000 to buy your equipment. And then you've got to, you know, tickets to Port Elizabeth. The actual hike is about 1,200 rand. There's an initial investment that is quite intense. But then after that, once you have these things and you want to get into it, it's not that expensive. Many of the hikes around Gauteng are free. You can do it a day hike. So I think the initial investment, if a person does it over a period of time and you take it within your stride and, you know, within your budget, you could sort of come out there, you know, without spending too much money. And then the follow-ups are not that expensive. You look at something like golfing, where every weekend you're going to spend 1,000 rand. So it's a rich man's sport, or off-roading, biking. These things are continuously, you've got to, you know, continuously pumping money. Whereas here you have that initial investment, but then after that there isn't that amount of cost that goes into it. So that is the plus side to hiking. And the other thing is that, you know, with minimum equipment, you can also bring the family in, and that's something that I plan to do in the future.
Inshallah. Now, Mufti Sahab, the golden question, will you do it again?
The Otter Trail itself, I'll definitely do it again. It is magnificent, and there has been reviews of people who do the Otter repeatedly, and that is what makes it such a unique trail, that people do it once, they want to do it again and again. In our group, we had people who said, you know what, I heard about this Otter, I didn't know what it's all about, I did it, I enjoyed it, but it's not for me. It's not for me. It's too physically intensive. I'm not the physical type. I don't like to get, you know, I don't do much training, so it's not for me. Others were blown away by it. I personally wouldn't mind doing it again and again. I'd like to do it with my family also, with my wife and my kids at some stage when they are able to manage that. So the hiking bug is bitten. Mm-hmm. We have tasted the otter, and inshallah, if it's possible, if Allah makes it possible, I'd like to do it again and do other similar hikes. People ask, so what about what next? Kilimanjaro or Base Camp Everest? I think that is a bit too heavy. I don't think of that at this stage. I don't even know what does that entail. When you set out on the otter, you don't know what does it entail. Mountains, climbing, you know, crossing over rivers. So when people only get to know what it really entails at a late stage, it's too late to pull out. So this, what the offer has to offer, the otter has to offer, really appealed to me. And I think in training for this, I was able to up my fitness level somewhat.
Nice, nice.
I've been in the madrasa for about 6 years, and then at the radio station, so more of an office job. We do minimum amount of physical activities. Now and then I ride horse, now and then I play volleyball, but I haven't been on a fitness regime as such where I've really worked on upping my fitness like yourself, who play soccer for 90 minutes on the field. I envy people who are able to do that. So for me, this was really an experience where I was able to up my fitness, and I was able to taste some level of fitness, and I'd like to really build on that. And you need to have a target. Last night when I came home after finishing off at 8 o'clock in the radio and having my supper, and I just joked with my brother-in-law, let's go for a walk to the mall, like how we used to do when we were training for the otter. And he said, ah, no, now I'm tired. And and when you don't have that, you know, event that you're working for, you're not motivated to train. I suppose the same for
same,
yourself,
very
for the
same
tournament. But you know, there's a tournament coming up. You work towards the tournament.
Yeah.
So this was something that gave me a target, and I worked to it, and I was able to achieve some level of fitness. And once I enjoy that, now you want to continue with that momentum. And I think hiking is perhaps maybe my niche, and something that I would like to use as my medium to maintain that level of fitness.
Indeed. I'm sure going forward now, if there's any altercation or a fight or a feud with the wife, she will make sure not to say, take a hike, because Mufti will be at the Otter Trail, I'm sure.
Yes, a nice one, adding your humor to it. It was really, really fascinating chatting to you and, giving me the opportunity to share my experience on, with regards to the Arctic Trail. It was an absolute pleasure. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakallah khair for taking out some time, Mufti Sahib, to share your experiences with us. And we're looking forward to checking those pics or videos of some of the areas that you've been to. I'm sure it's going to be very exciting checking some of that.
Inshallah, we'll share that with you. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mufti Musaji discussing his experiences on the Otter Trail. Very, very exciting. With the will of Allah, who knows? Maybe I'll be on this side of the mic and Mufti Sahib will be asking me about mine in the future, inshallah. That's it from the Power Half Hour for today. We thank you so much for joining us and we'll pick it up again, inshallah, tomorrow. So from myself and Mufti Musaji, it's Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.